Where There Is Evil, written and read by Sandra Brown. Dedicated to the memories of my mother, Mary Milne Frew, and of Mary McCall Anderson, Moira. Prologue. At the start of a bitterly cold February in 1992, my routine as a wife and mother living in the suburbs of Edinburgh and working in nearby West Lothian as a senior lecturer in childcare in a demanding college post was disrupted. I was sent on a week's management course, which included assertiveness training. What I learnt triggered off a series of events that have affected my entire life. Before I returned to West Lothian College, I had an experience that altered the direction of my life irrevocably. It also affected my husband, my teenage son, and my 10-year-old daughter. It almost destroyed relationships within the rest of my large extended family, dividing me from my mother and brothers. It led to me instigating a major criminal investigation in the Strathclyde region of Scotland, which involved reopening files almost 40 years old. Later, I was in and out of police stations, procurators' offices, and I met leading politicians. Strangers saluted my courage and told me they wouldn't have had the strength to do what I was doing. Others, including some relatives, called me a bitch, hell-bent on revenge. A tiny handful of members of my church supported me with their prayers, while people from my past showed open hostility. Some said I needed psychiatric help. All of this resulted from a single conversation I had with my father on the 7th of February, 1992, when we met and spoke for the first time in 27 years. Coatbridge, Lanarkshire, Scotland. I was a child in the 1950s, when there was a distinct sense of right and wrong. It was a golden age of innocence, when respect for elders was insisted upon. The postman put the letters in your hand, and my grandmother pulled down the blinds in the house when a neighbour had died, or when a funeral was going past. We lived life at a slower pace, and knew no one who'd suffered from stress. Indeed, we had never heard of such a thing. I ran happily to fetch what we called the messages from gloomy shops with sawdust floors. Assistants brought you items from the shelf. The butter was patted briskly into shape, and the cheese neatly severed from the block with wire. The money was whisked on a series of pulleys to the girl in her tower-like cash desk, and I dreamed of one day having her job and inscribing copperplate figures in a huge ledger. We all shopped at the Co-op, although we knew that some people, the toffs, had their shopping delivered by message boys, who wore three-quarter-length aprons, pedalling their sturdy bikes along tree-lined streets to the big houses where tips were likely. Customers were valued then, and honesty rewarded. It seemed as though life would go on like this forever. Coatbridge was dominated by its blast furnaces and had earned itself the nickname the Iron Borough. The population was